This episode is sponsored by Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. Experienced wealth managers who go above and beyond to guide and support you. CanDo is more than just an attitude. It's navigating today for a brighter tomorrow. Visit candowealth.com.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Max Jeffrey and I'm joined today by Fraser Nelson and Katie Bulls. Lee Anderson, who was until a few weeks ago deputy chairman of the Tory party, has defected to Reform this morning. Here's a little snippet of what he had to say.
Like millions of people up and down the country, all I want is my country back. Now, this may sound offensive to the Liberal elite, but it's not offensive to my friends, my family, my constituents and some of my donors. Constituents like my mum and dad, who told me they could not vote for me unless I joined Reform UK. My parents are both nearly 80, and they get it, and I must not let them down. As I said at the beginning, I want my country back. Thank you.
Katie, can you give us the details? Was this much of a surprise?
So I don't think it was a huge surprise as a defection, in the sense that long before Lee Anderson's promotion even to deputy chairman of the Tory party, he was seen as one of those MPs who was often on what the Home Office called Reform Watch, which was quite a useful device to summon the Home Office, because they would say, if we are too soft on various issues, such as immigration, there are these red wall MPs who could defect to Reform, and Lee Anderson's name would often come up. Now, then he was, for a time, deputy chairman, so that seemed to mean that he was less likely to do so. But he spoke then about being approached by Reform. He left that role over the vote on the Rwanda plan a few weeks ago. What has actually meant this is happening now today is what happened a few weeks ago, which was the decision by the Tory party, by Rishi, to withdraw the whip from Lee Anderson for comments he made on Islamists in an appearance on GB News, where he has paid £100,000 a year for his show. He effectively said that Islamists had taken control of London and he referred to Islamists as Sadiq Khan's mates. That led to him losing the whip. And initially, Lee Anderson said, I'm not going to join the Reform Party, but he does have some history for switching parties, Labour, then Tory. And I think that, as we spoke about on this podcast, the fact that because of such intense media attention of the whole thing, it meant that I think the route back for Lee Anderson's Tory party was looking quite difficult, because the Tories said, you just need to apologise for your comments and then there'll be a path back. Lee Anderson didn't want to apologise. And I think repeated interviews he was giving on GB News and other channels, along with the Tories saying, well, he has to apologise, and Rishi Sunak was being pressed on why the comments were wrong, meant that Lee Anderson said he felt his treatment had been a bit shoddy, but also just the landing space for a reconciliation looked hard. Meanwhile, you had the Reform Party and Richard Tice wooing and trying to convince Lee Anderson to move over. So I think the decision today has probably been a long time in the making. And as for what it means for the Tory party and politics as things stand, it was notable that you had Richard Tice today saying more MPs will now follow. I think they would love this to be the moment that Reform overtakes the Tories in the polls, the beginning of that. And obviously Tory polling right now has been pretty dismal, whereas Reform has been climbing up. So it should be that injection of energy that the Reform Party has needed. Many have thought that would come from Nigel Farage returning to the Reform Party. He has so far refrained from doing that. I don't think this is quite as significant as if Nigel Farage returned, but it's still a big moment because Reform now have their first MP.
Fraser, how big a moment do you think it is for Reform?
Well, they now have somebody in Parliament, so this is a fundamental difference. Up until now, Reform was a sideline party that would get a bit of support in the polls, usually flop whenever they were subjected to an electoral test. Now they've got an MP, and I suspect he won't be the last. There's talk that there might be a few more following in defections, a few Red Wall MPs who basically signed up for a Conservative project which never in the end happened. This Brexit alliance of voters was never really put together. When David Cameron came back, this signalled a new direction that Sunak was taking, defensive, protecting himself against Lib Dem voters in seats, rather than expansive, which would be to try to expand the Conservative message into former Labour Red Wall seats. So you've got a whole bunch of Red Wall MPs now who are waiting to die electorally and might well be persuaded to join Reform and have squeeze a bit more enjoyment out of this ride, which a lot of them unexpectedly ended up on when they were voted into Parliament in 2019. I do think this is significant. I can certainly foresee circumstances where both the Conservatives and Reform are on 20% in the polls. The Tories are now below 25%. That's an average of polls. We do an average in the Spectator Data Hub. Never before, not even in the Boris Johnson years, not in the Liz Truss years, did they ever get below 25. They're now on 24, Reform are on 15. Doesn't take a lot of imagination to see that trend continuing. And it wasn't so long ago where the Tories finished last in the European Parliament elections in 2019, so we've seen that Tory voters are not particularly sticky. So I can't at the moment see a bottom on this for the Conservatives. This will unnerve a lot of them who'd thought that Richard Tice was basically harmless, a bit of a loser. Nobody could really remember anything that he'd said or even what he looked like. But he isn't really winning voters right now. I think the Tories are losing them. And as of now, there are now two parties on the right in Great Britain.
Katie, how much will this defection worry Rishi Sunak and those in number 10? And how much of a headache is it for the Tory party, for MPs? Will others be thinking of doing the same?
So I think it's a massive headache in the sense that there are still reasons to be sceptical of how successful Reform are going to be. And there is currently a question that pollsters are asking, which is Reform is polling pretty well, going up, you know, I think to 15 points in some polls. Yet, when you look at recent outings and by-elections, they have not been performing in, you know, to match what has happened in the general election poll intention. And therefore, I think, you know, some said, you know, if in the coming up by-elections this continues to happen, do pollsters need to reassess how they are weighting it in terms of how the Reform vote's going to shake out? So I think despite all the high sense of drama today, this is not a completely done thing. I mean, if you look, for example, the Rochdale by-election, and again, by-elections are hard to extract too much from, but Reform came sixth and they got 6% share of the vote. In Wellingborough, they came third. That's 13% share of the vote. But that was lower than where UKIP came in a similar scenario at a time like that. So that was actually seen as a decent performance. But if you think about Wellingborough as a pretty perfect seat for Reform, surely they should be doing a bit better, or at least as good as their national average there. And then in Kingswood, they came third on around 10%. So they're not doing badly, but I think there's still some questions about the general poll rating compared to their performance and whether they have the ground game and so forth. But having an MP in the House of Commons, particularly an MP like Lee Anderson, who attracts so much media attention, the left love to write about Lee Anderson, the right love to write about Lee Anderson. In terms of picking an MP who could get the most media attention, as being the sole MP for a party, Lee Anderson is a pretty perfect fit, you know, for that reason. And I think, therefore, you can imagine that this is going to draw more people in terms of attention-wise to Reform, which could be a bigger problem. And Reform don't have to be winning seats to be a massive headache for the Tories. That's the problem. They just need to skim enough votes off that they allow the other parties in. And that was something that Lee Anderson himself very recently was saying, which is a vote for Reform is a vote for Keir Starmer. Now, today he said he's changed his mind. His parents told him he had to join Reform after his treatment by the Tory party. And he thinks, you know, and you had Richard Tice saying, no, a vote for the Tories is a vote for Keir Starmer. A vote for Reform is a vote for Reform. That's what he said today. I mean, none of it really makes sense, does it? You know, like, if we're trying to follow the mathematics. But what has changed today is you now have a parliamentary presence of the Reform Party that wasn't there before. And there is a question as to whether others will follow. Now, Rishi Sunak is under a lot of pressure because we just had the budget. I don't think the budget was ever going to be this huge game changer, but certainly Tory MPs viewed it as a moment to put a lightning bolt in their chances and try and move things around, try and give them something they could sell on the doorstep. There were tax cuts, but there's not been any poll bounce. The polling, as Fraser said, looks pretty awful. And you're building up to some local elections in May, which is going to be a horror show probably for the Tory party, last taken at a Boris Johnson high point. You have MPs on the right. You have a small group, as I've previously written about, and lots of others, are the plot. The plot is working in a little office, trying to think of ways to derail Rishi Sunak between now and May, where they see as, you know, the window to change leader. You have the new Conservatives. I think if you're looking at potential defectees, that's probably where I'd first look. 2019 intake, lots of them in similar type of seats to Lee Anderson, tend to be quite critical, Danny Kruger, Miriam Cates. I'm not saying that those two will defect, but those would be the type of MPs who have said you should do this in policy and not being listened to. So do this group on some of the ones who think they're going to lose their seat regardless think, I'm not going to keep my seat in the red wall. Why not jump over, become part of a little caucus of reform MPs and make lots of noise and potentially get a very well-paid television gig at the end of it on GB News?
And Fraser, just to finish off on, the government is currently looking into the definition of extremism. This is work that Michael Gove, the Community Secretary, is doing. Priti Patel has warned the government that it shouldn't have a broad definition of extremism and it should be wary of shutting groups out of political debate. What do you make of this argument?
Well, we've had Priti Patel, Sajid Javid and Amber Rudd, three recent Home Secretaries, call to say that the Tories and Labour should basically get together on defining political extremism. I imagine they want to avoid a situation where, take the definition of Islamophobia, for example. If you have a situation where Labour wants to outlaw Islamophobia, the Conservatives would be worried that that would stymie debate. So we're saying, look, this is something which we've got the power to build a consensus on. So let's see if we can reach that consensus rather than have either party forced into a position it doesn't necessarily want to maintain. Now, of course, you know, it's impossible to take anything off the agenda during a general election campaign. But I think this is interesting here. I suspect what the Tories are concerned about is that there might be a temptation amongst some other Conservatives to say, as Lee Anderson effectively was saying, that Sadiq Khan, the Mayor of London, was the protesters' friend or ally. They don't want to see a repeat of that because it obviously demeans the Conservative Party, but it's also untrue, and there is actually quite a striking consensus between Labour and the Conservatives on this. Keir Starmer has been really quite straight on Israel. He hasn't really done what the Corbynites would do if he's defined himself against the Corbynite position. So I think this can be seen, in my view, in the context of debate within the Conservative Party. They just don't want to see it tugged off to the fringes where they're actually going to the polls saying the sort of thing that Lee Anderson was effectively fired from the Conservatives for saying. So I think we're going to see lots more stories like this. Things that look a bit odd in isolation, but at the heart of them, come down to concerns from the Conservatives that the whole project is falling apart.
Thank you, Fraser. Thank you, Katie. And thank you very much for listening.